Trainer Talks and Tales acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Turrbal and Yugara people of Meanjin. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Trainer Talks and Tales love having an array of guests with a variety of opinions. However, the views of the individuals do not necessarily reflect the perspectives of the host facilities.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Trainer Talks and Tales. You are, of course, joined by myself, Daisy, and I am lucky enough to be here with Tess.
Hey, Daisy. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. Nothing hugely exciting to touch base from me. I've actually kind of been away a fair bit the last 2 weeks, so it doesn't actually feel like I've been working that much, which has kind of been quite nice, to be honest. But we are working on some fun marketing things for our summer holiday project. So I'm trying to get together some fun sort of social media ideas that we can do with that. And thankfully, work have just bought me a very nice iPhone 16, which is fantastic. So I've had a lot of fun getting to work with that camera and getting like way more high quality footage and photos, and also like a really fun underwater camera case. So the dive team have been able to take it down into the ocean tunnel. We've been able to take it with the seals. So yeah, getting some really like unique stuff. Plus we're also planning for Christmas and doing some fun Christmas themed socials, which is exciting too. So that's, yeah, kind of my work update, I guess, at the moment.
Oh, that's awesome. Like the footage you'll be able to get underneath the water and that kind of thing. That's really exciting.
Yes, yes. I love it. It's really fun, like being creative and everyone's like getting involved, which I love. So yeah, I'm really enjoying doing that. But what about you, Tess? What have you been up to?
I had a visit to Lone Pine last week. So that was nice to touch base with everyone, see how they're going and see the birds, of course. And next week, I'm actually seeing you at Sea Life. So really excited to see you in action, see some seals, see some penguins, and bring Indy basically to the aquarium and have our little eyes pop out of our little head. They're already pretty buggy.
Under the water,
she'll be like, wow.
That would be so fun. And especially because last time you came, you were fairly heavily pregnant, I think. So it's like quite nice that it's like a little bit later now with your fam as well. Be cute.
Yeah, she'll actually see something.
we'll get Indy's first seal photo for her. So cute.
Sounds great.
Yes. Well, wow. Tess, we are into another episode and you were an absolute legend. And let me take a bit of time off for this one just because it was me and my husband's anniversary and we don't get much time to hang out together. So do you want to introduce this episode as you did the honors?
Yes, so we chatted to Bo this week on Train Talks and Tales. Bo Eastman does work at SeaWorld, but we actually more so focused on his new documentary series that you've probably seen all over your socials. It's called Enter the Wild, and he basically told us a little bit about how he got into it, and he is just dripping with enthusiasm and passion for this project. So hope you enjoy talking about it, because I certainly did. Let's get into the episode. Well, Bo, we are so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tess. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's very exciting to finally chat with you. Now, as you know, we start our podcast with our Fast Five, so we're going to dive straight into that. All right, number one, Superman or Batman?
Batman.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Island getaway or mountains?
Island getaway.
Penguins or seals?
Penguins.
Cheesy stuffed crust pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, good. Good answer. Well played, well played. I was going to end the podcast if you answered otherwise.
I got some good taste sometimes.
Okay, well, we're really excited to chat to you today. And you have been in the industry for many, many years and worked at a number of facilities. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey into this field?
Yeah, so, well, it basically all started when I was a little kid. Mum used to buy me videos of whale documentaries, and it was only whale documentaries. So that's where it all started with my love for animals. And I remember this one documentary from David Attenborough called Wolves of the Sea, and it was all about killer whales. So I was just always infatuated with the colors on the, like the blue colors on the television, the black and white of the orca. So that's where it all started. So that's, and yeah, and then around, probably around like, in high school, that's when I got into filmmaking, into wildlife sort of thing. That's when I decided to get into it. And then for the zookeeping side of things, it started happening around a couple of years after I graduated film, which was back in 2009. I couldn't find full-time work in wildlife filmmaking, but I've always loved animals. So that's when I thought of studying my Cert 3 in animal husbandry and management. And yeah, and started volunteering, got a job at Karama Wildlife Sanctuary and a few other places.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that you actually had studied film. In my mind, I just assumed you'd always wanted to be a zookeeper. Here I am just assuming everyone wants to be a zookeeper. So that's interesting that that had always been something that you had an interest in and wanted to pursue.
Yeah, now, that's right. Well, sorry.
No, you're right.
It basically started like when my older brother, Dean, he used to be a senior editor for Creek to Coast. And he actually used to work with your friend Olivia.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He used to edit the footage of her all the time. So Olivia knows me through Dean. So basically he started filming myself and my mates surfing and dune boarding. And he made a clip about that. And I thought, oh, this is a lot. This looks like a lot of fun. I asked my mum for a video camera for Christmas. And she gave me that camera. And I started filming all my mates surfing, using Windows Movie Maker to start off with. And then I, started remembering all the docos my mum got me when I was a child. And I was filming all the backyard wildlife, so such as turkeys and the coastal carpet pythons, my goldfish. The film side of things have always been a part of me, as well as the wildlife side of things. Like I've always wanted to get nice and close with the animals as well, from a basically from a zookeeping's perspective as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it's obviously been a passion from a young age. But before we dive into the filmmaker stuff, can you just quickly tell us what your current role is?
Yep, I'm a penguin specialist at SeaWorld on the Gold Coast, and it's a really cool job.
Oh yes, I did an encounter with you a couple of years ago, and we talk about it all the time. It was amazing. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
You will always always be a big part of our family fond memories, because that was a great encounter that you did. So we loved it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That was a really nice encounter. You got to meet some pretty nice gentoos.
Okay, so back into the filmmaker stuff. You've been a zookeeper, and filmmaking, you know, is obviously a big part of your life. And did you always want to pursue both, or is that something that, like you said, you know, you couldn't quite get into this, so therefore you dabbled in a bit of both?
Yeah, so long story short, basically I've always wanted to become a wildlife filmmaker. It was right in when I was 16 or 17 years old, back in school. That's when I decided I wanted to become a wildlife filmmaker. But yeah, it's pretty hard to find that as a full-time work.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've always loved animals, so I just wanted to do something with them. You know, I wanted to be that zookeeper. I went to Australia Zoo one day and I saw them flying a wedge-tailed eagle on a creance. And I thought, oh man, that looks so epic. You know, that was my first time actually seeing a wedge-tailed eagle. And that's when it started for me to do some volunteering and get more into, get to know the zookeeping industry. I actually started working at Underwater World back in Sunshine Coast, now known as Sea Life, where Daisy works. I started off in retail and photography, and then I climbed the ladder. I was doing the touch pool presentations, and then I did a bit of work in the aquarist position as well. Got to work with a lot of cool fish species and all the sea stars, and I got to work with the Weedy Sea Dragon. That was one of the most coolest animals I got to see, like to get to work with so early. And then, yeah, and then I went for my TAFE because I found out too, you know, if you want to keep going and get other jobs in other zoos, you got to get your Cert 3. Yeah, so that's when I went for my Cert 3 and volunteered at Currumbin, and then got a job at Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary in the animal training department. And so basically through this, I started growing knowledge through my workplace, through all my workplaces that I've been at. And thanks to that knowledge that I grew from the animals I worked with, I took that with me whenever I go out into the wild to film the animals. So for example, I really got to know the wedge-tailed eagle so up close and personal, and doing research whenever I had to do talks about it. And then I would take that knowledge with me to try and find them so I can go film them out in the wild.
That's amazing. I love that, you know, it's okay to have more than one passion. Sometimes we're defined by our one passion, or, you know, we have to be this, but you've combined both, you know, and you've built from that knowledge of keeping and use that now for your filmmaking. So that's great. I love to see that.
It's
now
yeah oh sorry sorry
it's the delay sorry
I'll quickly say, yeah, I've actually been asked before by many people, so Bo, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a filmmaker or do you want to work with the animals? And it's, you're totally right, I actually can't decide one. I just love both. I love doing my filmmaking on my days off because it takes all day. Sometimes it can take all night. So that's on my days off. And sometimes when you just need a break from the computer, from editing, I just want to go see my little freezer chickens. And yeah, so it's, yeah, it's great to have both. And I think I'll be doing both for a very long time.
Yeah, good on you. I love it. Now, we'd love to talk about your documentary series, Enter the Wild. That's absolutely taken over zookeeping social media, by the way. So everyone's just sharing it, loving it, and, you know, with good reason. Can you tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to make this series? So you've mentioned your mum gave you these documentaries. You've always had this passion for wildlife, but what made you want to actually make it happen?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll try to make the story short. I had to do a speech for TAFE Queensland's graduation ceremony. I was also like a bit of an advocate for the animal study and filmmaking courses. And then there was another young fellow there as well that was asked to do a speech there, but for the music side of things. And we started talking, and his name's Michael, and he asked me, what do I want to do? And I said, I really want to get into wildlife filmmaking. And he said, well, I want to make music for wildlife films. So we really hit it off about what the type of music that we love and the type of film style that we like. And so we stayed in contact, and we made a few little mini projects just for ourselves, just to practice. And then he went over to Bulgaria to continue his studies in music. And he was asking me to pass on some footage that I already had to help with these studies. And then the dean of the school, he saw what we made together, and he asked him, are you guys going to stick together? Because you guys could really hit it off. And Michael obviously calls me up and we have a chat, and he's like, dude, let's do something. And I've also got a close mate named Dan who I work with all the time that does sound. And what do you think? And I said, yeah, of course I want to. And then Enter the Wild just came into my head because one day a really close mate of mine, I don't know where he is now, a close mate of mine told me one day, you should make a documentary called Enter the Wild. And that's always, those three words stuck with me. So, yeah. So bless his soul, wherever he is. But yeah, so and it started off to be a feature project, and but it was just taking too long. So because now these days a lot of young people their attention span is not as long. So our feature doco was actually going to be at least around 44 minutes in total, including the credits. But I don't think a lot of people would watch a 44-minute documentary on YouTube. So we decided to make it a series instead. And this feature project was going on for 4 years. But we made this decision only 3 months ago to turn it into a series. And
Wow.
look where we are.
And they're brilliant too. And I'm not just saying that because I have to. I actually really have enjoyed
Sure,
them.
sure.
I've watched every episode so far and I've really enjoyed it. And I do agree. I think that does unfortunately involve me. My attention span has lessened in the last few years, and I stayed and watched the whole 8 minutes. I was very interested in, and I wanted more, and I think that's what you want to be left wanting more, like, oh, I can't wait for the next episode, as opposed to like, oh, I tuned out halfway through, but it was pretty cool. So you guys have absolutely nailed it.
Thank you so much. And I could also really another inspiration of mine as well that I grew was from my old manager Dave Irwin back at Raptor Domain where I used to work. It was the first time I ever got to do a bird show that was non-scripted. So I actually got to basically talk a lot, and yeah, basically use my own knowledge in my own way. And that passion came out of me. So, and that always stuck with me. So basically we just got to just talk about four things. Name the animal, where are they found, how do they hunt their food, and what can we do to save them? So those four things stuck with me. And that's what I brought into the series as well when I do my writing.
I love it. Now we've seen the kite, the Komodo, and the quokka. Can you tell us a little bit more about the episodes?
Yeah, for sure. So actually, in a couple of days from now, we'll be releasing the Wedge-tailed Eagle.
Yes.
I really hope you like it.
Well, I suspected there was a wedgie one coming because of the cover, so I've been secretly hanging out for that one.
I can't wait to show that one as well, because that one is definitely pretty close to my heart, that one, because the Wedge-tailed Eagle has been a big part of my life ever since I saw the Wedge-tailed Eagle back in Australia Zoo. So, it's one of my favorite animals. I love filming them. I loved working with them, and I definitely miss it. So I'll have to come see you and meet your wedgie. Yeah, to
Definitely.
get my eagle fix.
Now, one of the coolest things that I've ever seen is you sharing your interactions with David Attenborough. So you sent copies to David Attenborough, who replied, I might add. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and again, it's always a long story. I got to try and make these shorter somehow. I need to practice in front of the mirror, don't I? So, I put up some footage of an endangered subspecies of glossy black cockatoo back in Kangaroo Island, where I used to live, and they and I made a little clip about them, and I put up on YouTube. So I put up two clips of them before the bushfire and after the bushfires, back in 2020, and one and David Attenborough's crew, Silverback Productions, spotted it up on
Wow.
YouTube, and they didn't tell me at the time that it was David Attenborough because he's quite an important man.
Oh, really?
So they kept that very secret, and they asked me if they could put it on the footage, but they did let me know that I am the producer of One Planet, and of course I was like, "What? Oh, it's gotta be him." So, and then they, yeah. So I gave them the footage, and then a month before they released it on Netflix, there was an article saying it was David Attenborough narrating this documentary, and I was like, "Yes!" It's called Breaking Boundaries, The Science of Our Planet. And it's on Netflix now at the moment still. And I got to see his voice narrate over my footage. And even though it's only a little bit, but geez, I choked up. And it was just insane. Just insane to hear his voice. Hear his voice narrating over the documentary about the killer whales. Now seeing it over my own footage, it's such a great achievement. And so anyway, I can't meet the guy, so I wrote him a letter, and just had to write a letter to him just to say, hey, you know, thank you so much. It's been an honor. I would like to get into narration. Here's a couple of clips from the wildlife series. Do you have any advice? And literally a week later, he wrote me a letter, and he said that he's watched the series, and he said, "Don't." Sorry, I'm trying to get my words together. So, don't describe everything that the people can see already, and shorter is better, is basically what he was saying. And then I thought this was so humble of him. A week later, he wrote me another letter, and he said, "Sorry, boy, I had to write you another letter, basically saying, I need to let you know I don't use YouTube, but I'll definitely keep an eye out for your documentary series."
So good. He's late 90s. Like, well, who can blame him?
he's very humble. He's such a world famous guy, and for him to do that, it's so humbling. And I wrote him back another letter because I thought I got to respond. I just have to. And showed him another episode. I showed him the full episode of the Black Shouldered Kite. Unfortunately, he did write me back another letter, but he's saying, hey, I've received it, but I'll get back to you. But I think that was around the time they started filming, they started working on Planet Earth 3. So yeah, he's busy, which I don't mind. It's all good. Three letters is pretty good.
Absolutely. Mate, you must have absolutely just lost your bickies. Like, one, seeing your footage narrated by him. Two, multiple letters. You would just think each thing is a career highlight, and then it's just like, bam, another one, bam, another one, you know?
Oh, look, what that's taught me is to, no matter how hard you work, you have a lot of people, and no matter how hard you work and you seem to basically forget reality, there's always going to be people to remind you, hey, no matter what you do, we love you. So, and I think David Attenborough has kind of given that example so well. So it's, you know, I hope I'm kind of floating my boat here, but if I ever do get to that point where like a lot of people want to talk to me, I'm going to do my very best to talk to them as well. So you definitely need to have that energy. And I think we all do it as zookeepers anyway, when we do our bird shows or any talk, you know, people want to come and see you. And, you know, we definitely got to have that leftover energy to try and make their day. And especially when it comes to a little child as well that wants to be you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. We have a lot of influence and we need to remember that.
100%.
Now, we had so many questions sent in by our listeners, and a lot of them you've actually addressed in your answers already. So I'll try and cut out a few. But sure. Some good ones here were, what is the biggest challenge or obstacle when trying to create something like your documentaries?
Probably not having enough footage. When you're filming a particular animal, you have to just leave that record button on and film as many behaviors as you possibly can. Because if you don't have enough footage, that's when you're going to have a bit of a problem. Because when it comes to editing, if there's a bit of a gap, at least you've got some spare footage to fill in that gap somehow. Mm-hmm. Somehow it just always works. It's just a matter of luck. But yeah, just keep filming as many behaviors as you can, and also film as many B-rolls as you can. So basically like cutaways sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it'd be like just the trees, just the wind waving through the trees or something like that.
Yeah, all good stuff to just have as a backup. That makes sense. Now, exactly. A couple more questions. What do you shoot on?
I shoot on the Sony FS700 and I use the Shogun Atmos 4K recorder as well. That's where the footage really sparkles.
That sounded like another language to me, but I'll just nod. And the final question, which is a bit cheeky, but what animals can we look forward to seeing in Enter the Wild? Are you allowed to give us more? You've already told us about the wedgie.
Yeah, of course. I'm working on the humpback whale at the moment.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and that one's also a very close animal to my heart as well. So I can't wait to, get this one out online. Yeah, so because that one's going to be it's going to be a bit of an adventure style, but I'm actually going to try and go for the tearjerker near the end as well, so I can't wait to show everyone.
Ooh. I love that's where it started as well, the whales, and yeah, now you're making your own. Well, look, it's not hard to make me cry, so I'll let you know if you're successful.
Well, I got to film the killer whales as well. That's my next one. So yeah, so I'm actually saving up my pennies right now to go to Argentina to film the orcas over there.
Yeah, that's where it's gonna be. No worries. All right. Well, it has been awesome chatting with you, Bo. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Tess. It's been a lot of fun, and thanks for having me on board.
We can't wait to see more of your episodes. Thank you.
Okay, I'm actually pretty bummed that I missed out on that episode, Tess, because listening back to it when I was editing was really fun. And Bo has done such an incredible job. Like, I remember hanging out with him when he worked at Crumbin. He showed us all the animals, and he's really just taken such a big passion and made it into such a huge thing that everyone is seeing around the country and hopefully globally as well. And I particularly loved how you said about how you can love what you do, but you can also have a passion as well. And it's so cool for him that both of those overlap. Plus, he loves penguins, works with penguins. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I also loved it. I wish it was part of the chat, but afterwards he was just going into more detail and explaining how as a presenter, your voice goes up and down. You're trying to engage that audience. And he had to basically retrain himself with the help of someone, and he did lots and lots and lots of lessons to make it completely different, to draw the audience in that kind of narrator David Attenborough style and have slight inflections on just one or two words as opposed to us going up and down and keeping it excitable. So I thought that was really cool too, and maybe once you know that now you can have a listen and see the difference in his tone. So check out the episodes Enter the Wild. It's been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm keen to watch and definitely follow along for his killer whale episode. That'll be amazing.
Yes. All right, guys. Hope you had a good fortnight. We'll be back in your ears shortly. See ya.
Bye.